Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is the last episode with Eric Chang. Hello, Eric, how are you?
Good to see you one more time here, Sammy.
Yeah, great, good to see you too. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your ministries. And today I'm so excited to hear your future visions for next generation Asian Americans. So my first question for you is, what are the potentials for next generation Asian Americans to advance God's kingdom?
I think as I've been meeting more Asian Americans, I've been struck with a tremendous amount of diversity. Everything from the views to even, I mean, typically in the past, I think certain areas of professions and even hobbies that we would be associated with were much more limited. But I think as far as advancing God's kingdom, if you think about the kingdom workers and each individual Christian, I think we become a lot more interesting and a lot more able to address larger swaths of society and more willing to go to all different corners. So the idea that if we can just somehow gather people, I don't even want to say under one umbrella, but to capture a vision for us that's unique and able to impact wherever we are, there's a tremendous amount of potential there. I mean, it's the question's sort of general, and I realize my answer's sort of general, but I think there's tremendous potential.
Okay. In what area second or next generation Asian Americans need to grow to impact the world with the gospel?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes back to the last word I just mentioned about potential and living up to that. It's, but when we look at second generation Asians and how they need to grow, I maybe in a more general sense, but I want to make it more specific here for pastors or people in ministry or thinking about ministry. There's really three things that I see consistently over and over and over again. It's essentially about character, commitment, and calling. You know, I see a lot of people wash out in ministry or even just in a general sense as a Christian walk away from the faith because they haven't continued to grow and develop their character. There's a lot of talk these days with regards to spiritual formation and virtues, and really what that is stuff we've been talking about with regards to character. And who we are as Christians needs to continue to grow. It seems to me with postmodernism that we'll be a little bit more forgiving about the individual in the name of the collective, of social goods, that will overlook the individual flaws. And that's never acceptable. It's not that we can ever justify wrong at a larger corporate or social level either. But I see so many Christians and so many leaders really, I don't even want to use the term wash out. That's so very negative. It's more just they don't last. And then regarding commitment, that's that perseverance, you know, continuing in our commitment to faith. And of course, the last one's calling. And, you know, there's too much emphasis, I think, on pastoral or ministerial type of calling, where every Christian needs to understand they have a unique calling. Mm-hmm. And sure, it's not a pastoral calling, but everybody's been called to be a minister of the gospel. So, you know, these are areas I think that we need to keep growing and keep in perspective too, because we're still a relatively young church. As a second generation church, we're really only 30, 40 years old here in the United States for most Asians, depending. You know, I think certain Chinese congregations are quite old. I think the Vietnamese community and the Hmong community is quite a bit younger than others. But yeah, we have to keep that in perspective too. Yeah, we look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we don't see those three generations really tackle and conquer a lot of their sort of family problem with deception and sin until we get to Joseph and we see the integrity rise up. And so, you know, when we're talking about perseverance and commitment, we're not talking about commitment for my lifetime. And we're not talking about my commitment to my children. It needs to go much further beyond that, third and fourth generation, to the kids you probably won't even see the fourth generation, you know. And if you are, you won't see probably the fifth generation. So even though our lifespans are getting longer, but we need to have a vision that goes beyond the generations that are within our lifetime, if you will.
Yeah, that's good. So character, commitment, calling.
Yeah.
But it's not just for me and my generation, but it should be intentional to disciple the next generations to come.
Yeah.
In those three areas. That's great. Thank you for mentioning that. Now, how can the second or next generation Asian Americans help Asian churches, including first generation churches, to continue to grow? Because I've heard some second or third generation leaders thinking that in the next two, three generations, the Asian churches will disappear, will all blend into mainstream churches. But yesterday I met a Native American church consultant working in Oklahoma, serving for 180 Native American churches. And I was like, wow, you know, they've been generation after generation after generation, but they were keeping the faith, you know, they had a commitment, calling, but also in the Native American context as well. So I was thinking, like, maybe the next generations, not just the first generations impacting next generations, but also next generations can influence and help first generations in working together. So how do you think, how can second generations can help the first generation churches, Asian churches, to grow, not just to continue, but also to grow?
I am conflicted on this because there's a certain sense where it's very difficult. It's easier for younger people to change than older ones. That's the general pattern. But we are always called to grow and change in regards to our lives as Christians. I think what the moderating view I would take is that in the end, there's only a certain amount of change that folks that are older can do. But it's not beyond the reach of the power of the gospel to transform lives and understanding. That said, I've been wrestling with this question a lot because I'm actually in a student right now trying to take a doctoral program in doctorate ministry, and we're thinking about, well, it's essentially philosophy for practical ministry, and we cover worldviews and culture. Where I've been working on and wrestling with is how Asians tend to value family so much. And this is still sort of messy because it's a work in progress. But when we look at Genesis 1, where we would commonly say that God establishes the family and the first marriage and these kinds of things, that would be the narrative circumstances that are described. But the word family is not used there. But then we suddenly inject this word family into all of these things all the time about what's going on, and it's not so simple, because our concept of family, we can't anachronistically impose that on Genesis 1. But what I do see here is that God created this, let's call it a concept of family, but more in the sense of corporateness or people, society, all this stuff right there in that very moment. And the difficulty is that I think with a church, often we sort of bring in this family value set in such a way that it is exclusive of other non-families that is still in need of some sort of social connection. And so I'm not trying to abolish family. What I am trying to say is that our definition is nowhere near large enough, but we keep slipping back into the lower rungs or the lower defaults of what we consider what it means to be the body of Christ and God's people. And so, you know, I think second generation Asians probably have some better grasp of that. You know, we look at the long, I guess, two decades now of multiculturalism that's been at play and at work, and it's good. I mean, that's the general direction, is it's good to be able to interface and engage and embrace all different kinds of people and wherever they are. But I know that for Asian churches, it's a real struggle, because there's a certain sense of identity that's bound up in that Asian identity. For myself, I think it's all about, like, well, me as a Christian, me as a pastor, there's no way I can wash out or correct or fix all the cultural value of family that's built into Asian understanding of what is family. But I don't have to. All I have to do is point them again to Scripture and saying, this is what God gives. And if we exercise it, and if we live in it, and if we really truly embody that, then we're being much more honest to the gospel and the nature of grace and the freeness of it and the limitlessness of it. Mm. So, you know, as far as second generation Christians go, I would say don't get bound up in what is simply another version or maybe a slightly more progressive version of what is Asian or second generation or first generation. That we should probably, yeah, okay, we can use that at some identifying level, but to move way beyond that, you know, put it in eternal perspective.
Mm. Yeah. That's good, good word. So the key to grow is lead them to God's word, Scripture, putting Scripture over culture, whatever the second or next generation culture that is, always Scripture must tell.
Yeah, Sammy, your word over, it's something that's I guess it's worth coming back and saying a little bit more about. When you look at, I guess, kind of the seminal work on defining the structure for the longest time of what is culture, it was written by Richard Niebuhr, Christ and Culture. And basically he simplified into very portable terms certain mostly prepositional understanding of Christ against culture, Christ in culture, Christ over culture. And then there's his penultimate one was, his ultimate one was the Christ transforming culture, and that's the one that kind of cheated because it's not a preposition. But the reality is that I think we have to be able to understand when we need to exercise what position, which kind of maybe flows kind of into this next kind of thought that, you know, for us as Asian Americans to help the Asian churches continue to grow is that we need to become more and more flexible. The second generation itself probably always hates that metaphor of being the bridge culture. Well, bridges are not very glamorous if you think about it. They're very prone to earthquakes and subject to the environment and the stress, and they're always tied down on two land masses trying to connect them together. And then the whole picture is that people walk or drive all over you. That's really what, you know, a bridge metaphor is not very glamorous. But I would actually say that's probably about at least one of the things that we really should embrace. That we also have the privilege to touch both worlds, to move back and forth and to do these things. So, I don't know, the bridge metaphor has definitely been played a lot, but that is one aspect of it. But it's also about, it really speaks to the versatility. That's really what it's saying. And while there are certain points of contact that are more fixed, at times we can set aside some of those things temporarily to be more accessible and to engage the world. I think of a lot of my non-Asian friends and their ability to comprehend Asian culture, and I realize I am a bridge to help them understand and these kinds of things. So, yeah.
Now, what are the next steps for your church to participate future work of God?
I think very specifically for our church, we just had a recent event happen that's been really, the Lord's been burdening my heart about us. We had a Korean festival just come through in Raleigh, and it was quite the success, and we have some of our church folks that helped out with that, but then there's also some other folks that were really not sure, or should we or can we even participate in these kinds of events. Mm-hmm. And right now in our current culture, the mainstream right now, there's a lot of goodwill towards Asian and especially Korean culture, and even some towards Chinese culture and other Asians. And you know, the popularity of K-pop and K-dramas and all these things, Korean videos, and there's a wonderful opportunity that we've been given, sort of a badge of ambassadorship, that we can connect with and minister to a whole new group of people that are open, that want to. I mean, for instance, my son attends a school and ended up making a new friend who was Caucasian, but he liked my son so much, he decided he was going to teach himself Korean. I'm like, who would do that? But this is the world that we're living in and the opportunities that we have. And, you know, for our church, I think if the church becomes more and more attacked, I think we also need to make ourselves more known for everything. Missions of mercy to outstanding members of community and pillars of the business community, and ministering and serving within the underprivileged to any and every kind of opportunity that we have. We can go places that even Caucasians can't here in the United States because we get a pass. And meanwhile, we can move around. We can move up and down the ladder socioeconomically and culturally, you know, left and right, and all these different things, and tremendous amount of mobility. So, you know, for us, I think as far as future work, I'd love to see, yes, we want to continue to work on our missions and our outreach, but also in terms of specifically this one event, I'd love to see us.
Great. Well, thank you, Eric, for sharing your passion and your vision.
Great. Thank you,
Sam. Next Generation Asian Americans. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next episode.